Aren't you glad you're a believer? Aren't you glad that your name is written down the Lamb's Book of Life this morning? Aren't you glad that you know that you have a home that is prepared for you? This morning we want to talk about answering a question that is found in Acts chapter 19 and verse 2. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 19. Starting with verse 1, reading through verse 7. We're going to find the Apostle Paul in a city by the name of Ephesus. And listen what it says about his journey. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? That is the question of Acts 19 and verse 2. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, they were just very honest, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. We've heard nothing about him. We've heard nothing about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Look at verse 2 one more time. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. Friends, today is Pentecost Sunday. And globally, the Christian church celebrates this special day, commemorating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as recorded in Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost is significant and worthy of remembrance for at least two very special reasons. Number one, first of all, it was the day the New Testament church was born. And I believe as you read through the book of Acts, you'll discover that on the day of Pentecost, when the 120 came down from the upper room, you will see that this was the nucleus of the New Testament church. And then secondly, it was the day the Holy Spirit was poured out on earth, baptizing believers with the power to witness for Jesus Christ. Nearly every Christian church recognizes and even celebrates Pentecost Sunday to some degree. Most mainline denominations and liturgical churches will speak today of the historical significance of Pentecost. They will preach messages and homilies from Acts chapter 2. But sad to say, most will leave Pentecost and the power of Pentecost in the dust of history. Others will decorate their sanctuaries with doves in recognition of this very special day. But friends, I am so grateful for Pentecost. I'm thankful for its historical significance to the New Testament church. And I'm thrilled with the Holy Spirit accomplished through Peter and James and John and the Apostle Paul. However, what excites me the most this morning is the fact that the same Holy Spirit power is available to us gathered here at Oak Creek Assembly of God this morning in the year 2019. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have not merely gathered here this morning for a 2,000-year-old history lesson on the work of the Spirit in the book of Acts. But rather, I believe we have come this morning, gathered here, for a touch of the same Spirit that fell on the believers in the upper room. Friends, I am so glad that Pentecost lives on. It is not left in the dust of history. And I don't know about you, but I have come this morning saying, Lord, I want more. Give me what you gave them in the upper room. Let me walk in the same power that propelled Peter. Let me speak with the same anointing of the Holy Spirit that fell upon the Apostle Paul. My cry this morning, and I believe it's many of yours as well, is, Lord, I want more. Now, in our text this morning, we find the Apostle Paul in the city of Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was a wicked seaport city. It was a place where sailors from all around the world would come to this city of Ephesus for what we would call a good time. The city, however, was morally bankrupt. Drunkenness and prostitution abounded. They would worship there the goddess of Artemis, and which is the equivalent of Diana of the Romans. She was worshipped there in Ephesus with perverted sexual practices. It became the center of the then known world. If you wanted to practice perversion, come to Ephesus. If you wanted to have orgies, come to Ephesus. Anything goes. It is the history, and it's the very value system they were embracing at that time there in Ephesus. It's in the midst of this cultic city and this mess, this city given to sensuality, that the Apostle Paul, he finds a group of disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, I'm glad to know that wherever you go, God is always God is remnant. Never feel like you're alone. I want you to know in every village, in every city, in every nation, in every company, every block, every neighborhood, somewhere God has his disciples. And so it was in the city of Ephesus. Though the city was given over to sensuality, given over to drunkenness, given over to perversions of every kind, in the midst of it all, there was a group of disciples, and these disciples were followers of Jesus Christ. These disciples living in Ephesus were like lambs living amongst wolves. They were outnumbered. The numbers of the community were massive at that time, and yet the believers were few, but God had believers in the city of Ephesus. Now in verse 1, listen what it says. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and then underline in your mind here, and finding certain disciples. Now you need to understand these disciples, they were not merely followers of Apollos, they were not followers of Aquila or Priscilla, nor were they merely the followers of the baptism of John the Baptist. The usage here of the term disciple is unique in this particular setting, and it is used here to define a follower of Jesus Christ, a Christian. Now, I want you to notice in verse 2, the question that he asked these disciples that he finds in Ephesus. In verse 2, he asked them this question. He said unto them, now remember, they're living in Ephesus. Remember what kind of a city Ephesus is. Remember, they're a minority living in this city. Remember, they're surrounded by demonic forces. They're surrounded by sexuality that is perverted. They're surrounded by all of this. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Since you have become disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, have you volitionally, have you chosen to be filled with the Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? And they answered and said unto him, yes, we have not so much as even heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. I want you to consider with me for the next few moments answering the Acts 19 2 question. And so once again, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Now, Paul was not making an indictment here. He was not putting them down. He was not saying you should have known better. He's not saying that you should have pursued this. He is merely saying there is more for your life. He is simply saying to the disciples there in Ephesus, surrounded by corruption, there is more for you. You know, surrounded by this pagan environment, Paul was saying you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to make it, you're going to need more than just pulling yourself up by the bootstraps. You're going to need the help of the Holy Spirit for everyday life. And he is simply saying there is more that God has provided for you. And in speaking to these disciples, he is saying to them, he that is with you longs to dwell within you. The Holy Spirit has wooed you to the Savior and has lovingly convinced you of your sin and convicted you of your sin. Yes, the very one that took the scales from your eyes and the deafness from your ears, he has more for you if you want it. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you moved on from the elementary truths of Christ, though they are so important and they are the absolute bedrock of the Christian faith? Have you moved on in your faith? Have you grown? Have you matured in your faith? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Now, for the obedient believers and followers of Christ in the upper room, as you read through the account in Acts chapter 2, there is more. For the weak and frail Peter that had failed our Lord not once but three times, denied that he even knew him. And that at the very time when Jesus was standing in judgment. And they said to Peter, Peter, aren't you one of those Galileans? Aren't you one of those followers of Jesus of Nazareth? And he said, I don't even know who you're talking about. I don't know the man. And in that moment, when he was surrounded by tribulation, when everything was on the line, you'll discover that he collapses spiritually in that moment. And for a weak then and frail young man, a Peter that wanted to do what was right, but he lacked the power to do so, there was more, and this more was found on the day of Pentecost. For Saul on the road to Damascus, there was more. Listen to what happened in Samaria. In Samaria, in Acts chapter 8, listen to what it says. Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might what? Say it. Receive what? The Holy Spirit. For as yet he was not fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they had already walked in their faith so far. They said, Jesus, you're the Lord of our life, and we're not ashamed to identify ourselves with you to the point of baptism, public baptism. And so they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And he said to them, have you received that which is the gift of God? And then in verse 17, they laid their hands on them, and they received what? Say it. They received the Holy Spirit. In Samaria, there is more for the believers. For the Gentiles in Caesarea, there is more. I want you to listen to that as well. In Acts chapter 10, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, that is the Jewish people, they were watching. Now, you need to remember, up until this time of Cornelius and his household, what happened there, a move of God's Spirit in saving Gentiles, this was the very first. You see, the Jewish people had thought that in order for you to receive the gifts of God, in order for you to come into any kind of relationship with God and be blessed by God, you must be a Jew. And if you were not a Jew, you were left out. And so this is very significant that these Gentile believers, they acknowledge Christ as the Lord of their life, just like the Gentile believers you'll find later on in the book of Acts, or just like the Jewish believers had previously. And so they of the circumcision, that is the Jewish people, which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because, here's why they were astonished, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of, say it with me, the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with what? Say it. Tongues, and do what? Magnify God. And so the Jewish believers said, how can we argue with that? How can we not declare that God is working with the Gentiles just like he's worked with us Jewish people? For they too have received this gift of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Friends, I believe that we need to enter into the more aspect of the Christian life. We need to be hungering continually for more of God and more from God. Let me ask you this morning, been saved a week, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years? Have you received since you believed? Have you received since you believed? And I assure you, God has more for you, and he has more for all of us. He said unto them, back in Acts 19 and verse 2, have you received the Holy Spirit since ye believed? And they said unto him, we've not so much as even heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. Now many of us gathered here in the sanctuary this morning, we have come from mainline church backgrounds. And when you think about being raised in the church you were raised in, probably you never heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You probably heard nothing about it, no more than those believers there in Ephesus, or those in Samaria, or those at Caesarea. It wasn't until they heard the message that they realized, God has more for me. Now, many of us came from these mainline backgrounds, and they failed to tell us that there was more. So we lived our lives powerless, faulting, not knowing there was more. The Ephesian disciples, when they opened their hearts and minds to receive the more that God had for them, listen what happens in verse 6. Then Paul had laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with one more time, with what? Tongues. And did what? Prophesy. They entered into the supernatural ministries of the Holy Spirit. Friends, I believe that we are living in an hour, in a day, much like those individuals, those disciples living in Ephesus. My heart breaks when I see the two key issues of our day. And the two key issues of our day, think of it for a moment. Who would have ever believed that we living here in America, maybe in some other part of the world, but certainly not in one nation under God, indivisible. Certainly not in a nation that was started to honor God and to honor God's word. Certainly not in a nation where the First Continental Congress, you will see them bowing before God and praying for several hours. We dare not try to do the business of a nation until we've done business with God. Who would have ever believed that a nation like this, the two key issues of the day, would become abortion and homosexual rights? Who would have ever dreamt that we would be living in the surrounding circumstances like those living in Ephesus? And friends, I tell you this morning, it is time for the church to stand up. It is time for the church to speak up. It is time to be heard. I don't know about you, but my heart grieves when I think our state capitol is flying the flag of the gay rights. Now, friends, you say, well, what do you believe about gay rights? I'll tell you what. We have the right to love them. We have the right to tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not here to judge. We are not here to put them down. In our city right now has a major festival that's been going on. And we're told that the flag is going to fly for the entire month of June over our capital. Friends, let me tell you, you will only poke your finger in the eye of God so long until God says, enough is enough. And sometimes people say, well, you know, you come down on a particular area of sin, and I'm not coming down on a particular area of sin. I'm saying that who would have ever dreamt that of all the things that we're fighting for the most in the United States of America right now is for the right to kill a child within the womb. And we've even gone a step beyond that. The step beyond that is if a child is born, that we still have the right to take its life within its first few seconds of taking its first breath. Who would have ever dreamt it? Who would have ever dreamt that we would be trying to, once again, try to identify what genders are? And that we keep adding to it, because when you leave God out, it is confusing. I find it rather simple in the beginning. God created them male and female, created them, and God created them as a couple so that they were complementary and not opposites from one another. And he said to them, go forth and multiply and replenish the earth. We're living in Ephesus. And I have to remind you that the city of Ephesus, I was there a few years ago with Pastor John. I stood in this once massive city. You say, well, how big was it? You know, during that time, everybody kind of exaggerates the size of the city. Their stadium, their sporting stadium, which is one of the best preserved of any in the world from that time of antiquity, seats 25,000 people. It was a massive thing, and the city was massive. It had libraries, and there still remains of these great facilities that they had. They had gymnasiums, and they had all kinds of sporting events, and they had swimming pools, and they had, you name it. It was a gorgeous city in its time. And I told you, it was a seaport city as well. But you know, judgment came on the city of Ephesus. If you were to go to Ephesus today, there's nothing there but ruins. And one of the amazing things is, remember I told you there was a seaport town and that sailors would come for a good time? The silt began to drift into their port to the point that the port was absolutely useless. And from where you stand in the city today of what the remains are, the archaeological remains of the city of Ephesus, as you stand there today, what was once a seaport town, even the port itself, because of the silts that come in, is now about a mile or a mile and a half away. Think about that. Judgment fell. Friends, I believe that we're about this close, and if you can't see any hair between my fingers, you're reading me right. We're about this close, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. And the Bible says they're going to look upon him, and they're going to see the one that they crucified. They're going to see the one they pierced. And I believe they're going to say in that hour, oh. Because I reminded you a couple of weeks ago, when he's returning, he's not returning as a babe in a manger. He's coming back as a conquering Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But we live our days surrounded right now. Your day, my day. You don't know how often I'm told, take your message and keep it inside your building. I don't want to hear a word of this God stuff. You want to talk God, you want to talk Jesus, you want to talk Bible, go inside your building, but shut your mouth out here. But fly the flag up there. You're not going to shut my mouth. But there's only one way that our words will have any kind of power behind them. There's only one way that we will not submit and cave in to the pressures of the hour. The Bible says, in this world you shall have what? Anybody remember what the term is? Tribulation. You know what the word tribulation means? In the Greek it says, in this world you shall have pressure. Pressure. How many feel a little bit of pressure? You feel at your job? Well, if you don't feel pressure, I'll tell you why you don't. And I know some of you won't like it, but I'm not here to like or be liked. And I've done quite well with some of that. The reason why you're not is because you don't speak up. It's that simple. Say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. But if you want to make a difference in this world, and if you want to live the life so that the pressure doesn't squeeze the life, the spiritual life out of you, Paul says, I know the kind of environment you're living in. If you go to Ephesus today, there is the ruins. You can see the left ruins there to Artemis. Historians tell us what a lewd form of worship was taking place there. It was sexual. Anything you wanted was found in Ephesus. And the Lord is saying, have you received since you believed? Because you're surrounded by Ephesus. And if you're going to make it, and if you're going to keep the pressure from squeezing the life, the spiritual life out of you, you've got to have the power of God inside of you. And greater is He that is within us than he that's within the world. Do you know what keeps a submarine from collapsing under the pressure of the ocean? It's the pressure within is greater than the pressure without. And when the pressure without gets greater than the pressure within, it collapses. When the pressure without is greater than the pressure within, it collapses. When the pressure around you in any realm of life, move on with me, don't get stuck back on the two things I just mentioned. Whatever it is in life that is pressure for you, for some of you it's struggle with anxiety, it's a depression, and it's like squeezing the life out of you. You wake up in the morning, your heart starts racing. You start thinking, I don't know whether I can make it through another day or not. That's pressure. It's the pressure of a marriage that once had such promise. And that marriage was, you couldn't wait to get up in the morning and start a day together with your mates. Something's gone horribly wrong, and now there's pressure. Your children, you had such hopes and dreams and aspirations for how they would serve God and how they make a difference in the world. Today, things are not working that way, and there's pressure. Paul is saying, you need more on the inside than on the outside, because when the pressure on the outside is greater than the pressure on the inside, that's when things begin to collapse. And that's what the Holy Spirit's presence is all about. The Holy Spirit wants to come in. You'll notice when you read about the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts and even throughout the New Testament, beyond the book of Acts, you'll discover it talks about being filled. Filled. You know that word filled there means to be full to the top, so full that it begins to run out. Jesus said it this way. He said, out of your innermost being, He's talking about your spirit, not just your gut. He's talking about your innermost being. Out of you shall flow rivers of what? Living water. Let me tell you, in a dry and parched land, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. So the greater is He that's within us and the pressure on the outside, and that we have something to offer other than shaking our finger, looking down our nose at sin, but looking at Him with a passion of the Spirit of God, saying, God loves you. You know, there's only one group of people that I find Jesus ever getting really upset with. It's not the sinner. Matter of fact, they often said to Jesus, Jesus, you're not a very good judge of character. Every time you go to a community, if you're going to have lunch with somebody, it's the biggest sinner in town. What's wrong with you? You claim that you're pure, holy, you come from the Father, and that you represent God the Father, and you lunch with and you spend time with sinners. Jesus said, the ones that are whole have no need of a physician. I've come for the sick. Here's the ones He gets upset with, is those that were self-righteous. Every single time you find Jesus blowing a fuse, it is because this self-righteousness. The Holy Spirit keeps us from that. You know, the Holy Spirit, wow. How many know what I'm talking about? He works you over pretty good. He works us over from the inside out, amen? I am so glad He does. He loves us. He cares. This morning, if you're hungry and thirsting, you're saying, I need something more. Maybe you've never heard of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So you're going to come to the altar. You're going to simply say, Lord, I need all that I can get to live in the hour in which I'm living. And I'm not talking only about the pressure of the world round about. Some of you, the pressure gets the greatest when you step inside at the door of your home. Or tomorrow when you go to the job and you feel like, wow, they'll have to gang up on you. I'd walk into where I worked in Minneapolis, and they would scream across the whole place, here comes preacher boy. And the pressure every day was pressure on, pressure on, pressure on. Do you know what? Before I left, I got to pray with the president, I got to pray with the vice president, I got to pray with the comptrollers. I prayed with the people in the parts department. I prayed with those in the rigging department. I prayed with them all. Greater is He that's within you. And I feel like the pressure on the outside is up here. Pressure on the inside is some down here. You need more. I'm going to invite you to come. I want to pray for you. If you want more this morning, all you're saying, I don't care what it is that's going on in your life. You're just saying, Lord, I want more. I need more. Have you received, since you believed, you come.